Okay, now let's kick into our teaching for today. I've been very excited doing this series of teachings, and I've evaluated it, and as the Spirit has been leading, what has been happening is that what most of the things we have been doing has been correcting. Do you understand what I mean? We have been giving proper perspective, all right? Contrary to what sometimes is very popularly held belief. And I was chatting with your brother. I said, well, that if somebody doesn't live in this day and age, all right, he probably will have a problem being very blessed by this series. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. Because if you have not been into the kind of ditch that I'm pulling people out of, it might be difficult for you to really understand what our problem is, some of the things that we are saying. I don't know what I get, what I'm going to explain. So there are some basic teachings that we probably have not done very well, because most of what's happening is that people need to be corrected. Do you understand that? And for that reason, later on, before we finish this series, we have to take a few days and do the proper instruction, all right? Not now trying to correct anybody, but trying to teach properly. So for a few days, I will teach on biblical principles of financial prosperity. I will teach about it, because you see that what I've been doing all this while is trying to explain that a lot of things we do, thinking that's the key to prosperity, is not the key to prosperity. For example, I have explained a number of things. Number one, I said that you cannot sow a seed deliberately towards a particular kind of harvest. You know the interesting thing? Although there was a book I bought, Midas Touch by Kenneth Hagin. I was reading it a few days ago, and I realized that he said that thing. There was a chapter in the book in which he explained, Kenneth E. Hagin said, it is wrong Christian practice to sow a seed towards a particular expected harvest. The man said it's not right. He's saying it or not saying it's not changing my mind. Do you get my point? But at least I was glad to have another person to quote, because there are people who feel like, as someone was telling me the other day, that there are people who say like, if you know so much, why are you not a pastor? Do you understand what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying there? So when I read him say that, I was glad that an older man who has gone ahead of us and taught these things has already shown the church, and he wrote the book years ago. The man died a few years ago, so he wrote the book some years ago. And I'm surprised a lot of people have refused to read some of those things and are still preaching things that are not correct. Now, so having that, that's just an example. So we have already said that you cannot deliberately say, okay, I want a car, so let me go and give a seat towards my car. I don't care how many times it's been said. Like one of my colleagues said, it's also a believer and a teacher of the Bible, said the other day that no matter how many times you said something, if it's wrong, it's still wrong. Do you understand my point? That saying it too many times does not convert it to truth. Do you follow? Now, so that's the thing. But then the problem with when you say things too many times is that it gets reinforced in your heart. You hear so much, it becomes a part of you. Unfortunately, a lie can be a part of somebody. And that's what we are saying should not be the case. And we are trying to correct that. Now, having done a lot of this correction, like I said, okay, how do I prosper? Do I give to a man of God? I said, listen, if you want to prosper, if you need something, ask God for it. Okay? What about, should I give to a man of God? You should give to a man of God. Yes, you should. But for two reasons. Number one, because he's a man of God. We'll talk about that again today. And two, because he has been a blessing to you. That is the first one. He doesn't have to bless you. He can just be blessing other people. And you want to support what he's doing. All right? I said, those are the two reasons that the Bible gave us why you give to a prophet. And if you do any of these things, the Bible says that you will get a prophet's reward. And you see, that's one thing about God. He generally do not tell you exactly what the reward will be. He told it to Abraham, follow me. He said, walk before me and be perfect, and then I will bless you. Just take that general blessing and walk with it. But as you go on, you will see the manifestation of God's blessings at different points in your life. Please don't forget this. I know I've said it many times, but I can't say it enough because this is so important. The key to the release of God's power in your life is a continual. Please, everybody echo continual. Please, do it for me one more time. Thank you. It's a continual doing of good. Do you get my point? Let me say it to you again. Don't start what you do not intend to continue. Did you hear what I said? If you do not intend to continue something, don't start it. Because the blessing is in the continuity. He said, God is not unrighteous as to forget your work and the love you have shown in that you ministered to the saints, and what? You still do minister. That's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Do you understand? He said, be followers of them who through faith and patience. Patience is faith continued in. Be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. So if you are not planning to continue something, don't start it. Because the key to reward, he said in Galatians chapter 6, do not be weary of doing good. He said, in due season, you will reap your reward if you do not faint. That is, the time of the reward must meet you still doing the good. Do you get the point? That's why the prophet said, if a man is doing righteously and he stopped doing righteously, we will forget the righteousness and only punish him for the wickedness that he did last. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? So that is why you don't do jerk Christianity. You know what I mean? Just an impulsive thing. No, you have to learn to live a constant life. That is what Christianity is. You don't do a jerk. Look, the widow of Zarephath, my good example. Having understood all these principles, that's why I come and am persuaded that it was not that single offering that she gave to Elijah that gave her a breakthrough. It was a final straw that broke the camel's back. Do you understand my point? Don't forget what I've said again and again. There was something that made God send Elijah from the brook of Cherith to her house. Elijah was not stumbling about looking for where he would stay. Elijah was looking for a particular person. Do you understand my point? So you ask yourself, how come there were many widows in Israel? Like Jesus said, and to none of them was Elijah sent. That is, Elijah was sent. But to that one that was not even in the land of Israel, but one of the neighboring countries around that were suffering with the nation of Israel as a result of the curse that Elijah placed upon the land, there was something about her. Do you follow what I'm saying? And what was that thing? The continual doing of good. Let me review something I said before. I said there are two reasons God brings things into your life. Number one is that you asked for it. Anything you know you need, if God has given you the understanding that you know, so that you know you need something, then what he's saying in effect is that ask me for it. Do you get my point? That is number one. Number two is that everything you do in life has a reward. So when you do good, God looks at that good and uses it to put something into your life as a fruit for good done. Therefore, Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, because you have sent for my necessity once and again. He said, I'm not talking about this because I want plenty. He said, because I am delighted that fruit is accruing to your account. He said, because of these things that you have done, therefore, verse 19, Philippians chapter 4, therefore, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, there's a difference between want and need. Want is what you are aware of that you desire or you think that you need. A need may not even communicate itself with you. Do you understand my point? It may not manifest that you need it. So you cannot even ask for it, but it's something you need. Take health as an example. There are people who are going to doctor every day. And I have typhoid fever. Why? I have, you know, because I took malaria medicine, didn't go. So I have typhoid. Several times they have come to me, you have typhoid fever. Why? I will look and say, you don't have typhoid. Now, they've gone to do tests. And those of you know what I'm talking about, you will laugh. They'll say, you have small typhoid. Oh boy, there's no small typhoid though. Typhoid is either there or it is not there. There's no small. I'm talking to you, listen to me, I'm a specialist. So this is not even just being a pastor. I'm telling you what I know. Typhoid not get small. Either it did or it no did. That funny test people go around doing, they call it Vidas test. That test they go around doing, it doesn't see anything. It's a matter of fact. Anyway, so they come and say, I've gone to do a Vidas test, and they tell me that I have small typhoid. And I will laugh. Oh boy, typhoid not get small. So that the complete dose is not there at all. Now, so these people think they have small typhoid or big typhoid, whatever dose of that they claim they have. And they come and look, they've taken chloramphenicol, peflacin, amoxicillin, you know, all kinds of antibiotics. The typhoid not Greek. We say, my own typhoid is a difficult one. I always laugh. You don't have typhoid. And I ask the person a simple question. Wait. Which work do you do? He will tell me. When last did you take a holiday? Like he didn't work for one whole week or two. Ha! He said, oh, God, country, how do man not fit try that one? You see, you don't have typhoid. You lack rest. The human body responds to the absence of rest. It will respond. No, physical fever. You know, I told some of you before, I don't watch football. Part of it being that God hasn't given me the ability to stand the stress that goes with when your team is about to be scored against. When I'm watching touch my body, I literally get a fever. That is, my temperature goes up. I'm talking about need and want. So people sometimes think, all right, that they need something. But actually, that is what they want. That's what has been manifested to them. What is underlying may be different. Please get what I'm going to explain. And for that reason, you cannot ask for it. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? You can't ask for that which you are not aware of. There's a kind of prayer people pray sometimes. They say, and this and many more other things we ask in Jesus' name. There's nothing like many more other things. You either say it or there's nothing there. If you had that prayer before. They pray and say, and then they say, this and many more other things we ask. You see, there's nothing like many more other things. You haven't said anything. Now, that many more other things is what is given into your life as what? A fruit for good that is done. That's what I'm going to explain. So God supplies your need. All your needs he supplies without your asking. And Paul tied it to when people sowed correct fruit and seeds. But I said that seeds, you can kill the seed. You can take a good work and kill it. Because God judges motive. He said, I, the Lord, I test the heart. I see what a man is thinking about when he's doing good. Because if he does what is good for selfish motives, it was dead on arrival. It's like sowing boiled corn. And Jesus said it simply to us. Be careful that you don't do your good openly. Listen, let me tell you the truth. The major good that God will reward you for, interestingly enough, you would not even be aware enough to ask for a reward for it. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. You won't even know that you need a reward for it. What God rewards you openly for was done in secret. Sometimes it's so secretly done, even you didn't even know it was done. I don't know whether you get my point. Because to you, you may have done something that you think is inconsequential. The one you thought God should give you big reward for, maybe the one that before his eyes, the Bible says that what is highly esteemed before men in his presence of God is what? Lightly esteemed. That's why I said, be careful when you are using the word dangerous seed. There's no dangerous, only God knows the seed that is dangerous. As often as the opportunity is given to you, do good to everybody. That's what the Bible says. Please, you know, we have been discussing that. I just want to summarize everything. That is what gives good reward, though. That is what will not kill your seed. Anything you do, I said something last time, let me say it again. Anything you can, let's say, giving as an example. Anything you cannot give without anybody knowing about it. If you give it publicly, the difference between what you could give privately and what you give publicly, all right? The difference is lost. Let me explain. Let us assume now that this is, we want to do work. Next year, we're making projection for the work of Kingdom World. We want to do TV, radio, and I say, okay, I want to take offering for it. If I say, please, those who want to give to us, please just write it down so that we'll know how much people are expecting, you know, that kind of thing. And you are willing to write down 5,000 naira. But then, let's replay that. That in that scenario. And I say, Ubang, come forward. Tell everybody, what are you planning to do? It was 5,000 you wanted to do before. But when I now put it in, you suddenly change your mind. Amen. Praise God. This ministry has been a blessing. And I believe this work should go forward. You see all the spiritual talk. At the end of the day, say, I'm giving 50,000 naira. 45,000 is a waste of money. Listen, as far as your life is concerned, we will enjoy the 45K. We will enjoy them. We will spend it properly. Cosmo FM will thank us for paying them. But you have, Bible says you've received your reward already. What your heart was willing to do privately was 5,000. And that is what God will bless you for. Look, you know, those of us who want to collect, we know how to put you on the stage. We know how to put you under pressure. He said, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Who's a cheerful giver? The man who knows what he's doing and has the right motives for doing it and listen to this and doesn't care even if God gives him nothing back. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. The Bible said, do good, expecting nothing in return. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. The man he's doing the good for, he's not expecting any good from the person in return. And let me add it to it, he's not even making a demand of God. I said the knowledge of the law of sowing and reaping is to encourage the good man's heart. It's not supposed to be an incentive for the wicked soul. The good man, doing good can make you get tired. You can give money, we're talking about money, your money, that's the title of my series. You can give money until a time you are just tired. And that's when God said, don't worry, every dime you have given, every money you have spent for the cause of God will be returned to you manifold. It is a harvest. I told you that God doesn't have to give you money back. You get my point? He that shows mercy will obtain mercy. You can show mercy in giving somebody money, and God shows you mercy in delivering you from death. You can show mercy by giving money. We're talking about money. And God shows you mercy by giving you a good husband, a good wife. I'm serious about that. I'm not joking about it. The problem people have had sometimes is that they have some of these experiences in which through many methods, God lets them know that it was because this man did this good that I gave him this kind of reward. So they now say, when you want to get this kind of reward, go and do this kind of good. That's where we've lost it. We have lost it. Because the principle operating the life of each person at a particular point in time is different. In fact, for the fact that you are doing it towards a particular object already shows that you are not working on the same principle that person was working with. Do you understand the point? Now, this is among things we have said. We're just laying emphasis on them again. And I said that, let me now go into that properly. When we say we are giving to God, how do we really give to God? You know, I've been trying to build up to it. Let me say one thing I said before so that I can connect from there. I said in the real sense of it, you can't give God anything. In the real sense of it, you can't. He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. If I needed a house, I would build it. Look, people say, God eats praise. Well, I understand what you're trying to say. If he really ate praise, he wouldn't tell you to praise him. Because if he were hungry, he doesn't tell people. He can create 100 billion mouths that will say do nothing but praise, morning till night. How many human beings are there talking about praise? There are multitudes of angels that have been praising for eternity. Do you follow my point? Anything God commands you to do, listen to this, is for your own benefit. Listen, let me say clearly. I won't explain it in details, but just hear it clearly. Anything that God commands you to do is for your benefit. It is never for his benefit. Never, ever. God doesn't get better. If he says, praise the Lord, it means that it is good. That's why the Bible says that praise is comely on you. That praise is good. That is, the praising you are praising God is not good for God, it's good for you. Give thanks to the Lord. That thanksgiving is good for you. It's not good for God. The whole concept of the personality of God means that nothing makes him better, nothing makes him worse. You can't make his life better. You can't sing enough praise to make him feel gooder. You know what I'm saying? He can't feel more good than he's currently feeling. Anything that the Bible describes about his, God got angry and he was sad and all of that and he repented him, it's what Pastor Chris will tell you is called anthropopathism. You like the English? You like his amen? You're not sure? Actually, it's a standard theological terminology, all right? But Pastor Chris, the one that's Okoti, the one that popularized those words, anthropomorphism and anthropopathism. What does it mean? That when we use the characteristics of human beings, emotional characteristics of human beings, to explain the character of God, that's anthropopathism, all right? And morphism is when it's the structure, the hand of God, all right? And the feet of God. Those things are supposed to describe. You want to describe God using his the outward forms of human beings. Is that okay? Now, I'm not trying to explain something that in reality, God doesn't change. So really, in reality, you really can't give to God per se. The only thing you can give, it appears like, let's say give now to God, is obedience. We'll say that. In reality, the only thing you can give to God is obedience. In fact, somebody quoted Avanzini, I heard it, and said that the only thing that's called a sacrifice, all right, is that God asks for it. You can't give God an offering that he doesn't ask for. No, really. That's a matter of fact. And that's why we've been doing this series. He said, watch your steps when you draw near to the temple of God. He said, draw near to listen rather than to offer what? The sacrifice of fools. That is, I said, the fools don't even know that they are in error. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. That they don't even know they are in error. That is, they come to do things thinking that is the right way to do it, not knowing that God has a specific order. And the first thing that you must learn when you come to offer to God is, God, what exactly do you want? I like to say this way, God doesn't like surprises. It's his birthday, let's plot a surprise for him, not God. You can do that to your wife, to your husband, and you young men, do that to a young woman that God is speaking to you about. Should plot a surprise. You know, that kind of thing. It's good, but God, when you reach God, don't even try it at all. You must find out what he really wants. What does he really delight in? Like Samuel said to Saul, has God as much delight in sacrifices and burnt offerings as it does in what? Obedience to his word. Anything he tells you to do, that's a real gift to God. Do it. Don't add to it. Don't remove from it. That's why I've been learning the order of God, all these things that we have been teaching all these days. It's trying to get God's order. Dear Father, what exactly do you want us to do? How do you want us to do it? What am I saying? How do I give money to God? This is the primary way. The primary way is simple. Learn exactly how he wants you to handle your money. Do it like that all the time. And every time you do it, you are giving to God. That's the general principle. Bear that one in mind first. I've already explained that one, there's seed for the sower and bread for food in your money. Seed for the sower, we have already divided it into what? Spiritual seed and physical seed. Now, because of, if you look at the context in which we are speaking and then the contemporary issues that we have to deal with, what I want to talk about now, therefore, is what is that spiritual seed? That's what we generally call giving to God. Are you getting what I'm explaining? I've already given us the background of the general fact that you really can't give anything to God. And having left that, you say, okay, what can we really give anything to God? Well, the main thing that God asks from anybody, only one thing. He said, what has God asked from you, oh man, other than the fact that you should obey his words? That's all. The only thing that God has asked from you is, son, give me your heart. Obey my words. Anything I say, obey to the letter. Everything. Don't do more than it. If I say, carry my ark on the shoulder of priests, carry the ark on the shoulders of priests. Don't build a new cart like David, trying to impress God. God doesn't like surprises. We've established that. And we say, okay, this is God's general order for our money. We're talking about your money. Spiritual seed and physical seed. Now we're narrowing it down. Generally, when we say, let us give to God, what we are saying is, how do I sow my what? Spiritual seed. Let's talk about that now. Amen. Now, that's what I really want to talk about, and I believe all of us will be blessed by it. Now, before I go into it, please, let me say something else. Walking with God is a walk. What did I say? It's a walk. It's not an impulse. Do you get my point? Listen, Christians must learn to cultivate a habit. Do you follow? Yes, you must learn. That's what I'm trying to get us to understand. Talk about this money issue. You should have a habit for how you spend your money. Or how you apportion your money. You must have it. That way, you will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. One day, a man walked up to me, wanted to do something very... Now, get my point. This is not a bad thing that he wanted to do. It's a good thing. All right, I won't go into details about it. So he wanted me to participate. He said, please, I would like you to contribute to what we are doing. I want you to give half of your income towards it. And I said, you see, for some of us, we don't even see that half. If I gave you half, I said, you leave me with nothing. Do you get my point? I said, before you arrived, half of my income had gone. So I have to take it from somebody to give to you. Either I give to myself, I take it from myself. I'm not, now, get my point. The best I could do for him, if I had to do under such circumstances, is to take the half that is left and cut it into two again. Do you understand? Now, actually, very easy to do if you're a single man. You know what I like about the widow of Zarephath and the kindness of God? She had enough meals for how many people? How many people she did give to? One, the louder one was for her son. That is, if I want to take the risk, I take it alone. My son will eat, the prophet will eat. Let me see whether I will die. No, what I want to say is that that's why, listen, as a young person, do all the crazy things you want to do for God now. I'm telling you, as a single man, as a single woman, go for a crusade, morning, afternoon, and night. Don't come back home. It's good. That is the time to do it. Do you understand my point? That is some of the crazy things you need to do for God. Do it while you are a single man. It's very important. Now, I'm bringing out an issue. So when the brother said it like that, I just told him simply that it's going to be difficult for me. Now, for those who normally have all their income in their pocket, you can make the demand. But for me, you walk up to me, make that demand, I have to deny somebody else to answer you. I already have a habit. Now, get what I'm saying. I'm talking about cultivating a habit which must be based upon God's order. If you have a habit, it is difficult to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Now, that habit, I'm not saying it's hard and fast, it must never change. You are going to change in life, all right? You're going to get better. Things, I mean, let me give a practical example. Kingdom World Ministries, when it started, as a family, between my wife and I, we contributed 99% of every money spent. Do you understand the point? Then that's a matter of fact. And I say 99 because occasionally maybe somebody gives you, oh, for printing of tracks, give you 1,000 naira here, 2,000 naira there, but we are spending money in tens of thousands. And that 1 or 2,000 comes far in between. But that was just for the first phase. As of today, I don't think that's as a family now, just as a family. There's a reason why I qualified that. What we give to Kingdom World does not cross 10% of the expenses of Kingdom World Ministries as of today. Now, you know why? It's simple. Kingdom World expenditure has grown, but so also have the people that give towards it and the amount they give towards it. People still give us 10 naira, 20 naira, 15 naira, 100 naira, 1,000 naira, 10,000 naira, but then people also give 100,000 naira and 1,000,000 naira. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? And there are businesses that contribute to it, and then they also keep growing. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? So, you now see that I'm not going to explain the issue of people change. All right? You can, as you go on, the needs. Let me give you an example. Maybe you are a firstborn, you have four younger ones, and God has prospered you, are helping them through school. You have a cousin or two you are helping. Then one day they graduate. Do you follow what I'm saying? You're free. Then that portion gets another assignment. That's what I mean by people change. But see, based on what I want to explain, it's important that every Christian has a giving habit. You don't have to be impulsive. Some people will need that, and you see, I said, that's how God allows some things to happen. Because some people, nothing go drop until serious preaching. When you do the serious preaching finish, then you make a demand. Then somebody will give heaven and earth for that one time. After that, he's back to square zero. If you are like that, hear it from me again. You've given nothing, you get no reward. Nothing. What you can't continue, don't start. People do that kind of epileptic giving. It's not right. Today, somebody winds you with a very powerful message and you will give your head, your leg, your shoulders, your nose, your eyes, everything. Then after a week or two, you are still trying to recover from the last experience of giving everything that you have. So next time they talk about giving, say, take your dime, take your dime. Not even try. No, Pastor, don't even go near that one. You see? The last one you did, you didn't get any reward. Take it from me. You didn't get nothing. And you're not going to get anything. The man that gets a reward cultivates a habit. He's willing to do it again even though he gets nothing. Please, guess what I'm saying? It's so important you get that into your head. The center of your heart doesn't shift. Even though you get nothing, you're willing to do it again. Let me ask you a question. What has my son ever given me materially? Think about it. Nothing. The greatest reward I get from those kids is give me that smile that shows you are healthy. If you want to torture me, run a fever. Don't smile. Don't eat. Stool more than 3 times in a day. Vomit once in between. Okwari. I start praying. I will lay hands there. Your head will peel. If you want me to relax, just smile. Eat. Stool the normal one twice a day for a child. Sleep properly. Smile. Don't run a fever. You know? Just be happy. I get my reward from seeing your progress as my son, as my daughter. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Therefore, do I get nothing? I keep doing it. They keep growing. Their demands increase. You now, you know, as they begin to grow suddenly, you have to pay more fees. And you know, when children are growing, the clothes change rapidly. I'm so happy for the way God arranged my children. I have three boys, so just keep buying clothes for the first boy. You know? And all other things are added to the other ones. Today I saw my smallest boy, he's a year old. I saw him wearing a pair of rubber sandals. And I laughed. I said, ah, see to Kumbo shoe, fairly used. Who used him? His oldest brother. I said, are these things still there here? Ah, we bless God. Now, but you get what I'm trying to explain. But I keep spending on them. I keep spending on them. Because they are my children. Is that okay? Uh-huh. In the same manner, I want Christians. That's how you must cultivate the giving habit. You keep doing good. You're not looking for one quick reward. Let me tell you the kind of reward that you get for doing good that really makes you a prosperous person before God. I want to give you a testimony of something that happened a few days ago. On Thursday, today's what? Yes, on Thursday, Amara Obun Africa was in my house and she and the Jose in Africa were about to leave the house. And Amara said, ah, sir, have you dropped the CD for Cosmo for that program for that night? That was when it hit me that I hadn't. He wasn't ready. The message had been preached. He had not been edited for radio. We had 1 hour to go. So I ran upstairs. But she was saying, I ran upstairs to the study. Told them, please wait. Because you have me drop the CD. I quickly, get a long story. Let me cut a long story short. They were burning the CD in the cars. They were going at this. Somebody held the computer. That one was driving. The CD was burning as they were driving. He finished burning just before they got to Cosmo. Pulled out the CD and ran down to Cosmo. Gave them the CD and the guys took it. If you notice on Thursday, the broadcast started about 2-3 minutes late. Yes, it's because the CD was just getting there. I was calling him. Have you given them? Because when it was 7:30, I said, ah, they never start. You don't give them the CD. Okay. He said they were still playing. So once they started playing it, because I had my phone on. I was listening on the phone radio. Cut the long story short. It was under intense pressure. We gave them the broadcast for the day. Then later that night, I got the text message. I don't think I've deleted it. Said, Pastor, God bless you. I don't know the person. I don't have that number on my phone. The person didn't put his or her name. He said, God bless you. Today's message was for me. I came back from work crying. I've been crying since I came back from work. Said, this message wiped away my tears. Ah, I said, God, thank you very much. That message was worth it. The hassle was worth it. Are you getting my point? The harassment was worth it. For me, was it that now God now say, hey, Banky, here is $15,000 or $1,000 for that message? No. It's just that I knew that I did not labor in vain. Do you get my point? When Paul was shouting on the Galatians, he was concerned that should I have labored over you in vain? That is, now you have departed from the true gospel and you have followed another gospel. That was his issue. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain there. So that is what really makes you a prosperous person. When you are ready, listen, to just do good and derive satisfaction in the doing of that good. And when you are like that, it's easy to plot a constant giving life. Do you follow my point? Yes, constantly. You're constantly doing it. Apportioning seed to the sower and bread for food. All the time. You are constantly doing it. And that way you don't get tired. You don't get weary. I will not get tired of spending money on my child. I won't. God forbid this will never happen. Even though somebody told me that he will only live for 10 years, he will keep on going to school. I don't know whether I get my point. He will go to school daily. I will pay the same fees. That's how you listen. If you listen to me, I said on that Thursday, I talked about daily obeying God. Doing something daily. We have a CD here. Please, if you don't have a copy, get it. Occupy daily. I say like that, this is how I illustrated that. If somebody told me, listen, you know, Pastor Banky, Jesus appeared to me last night and said, I should tell you that he likes you very much. So he wants you to know ahead of time that January 16th, 2009, he's going to come back. Do you think I will stop everything I'm doing now? No, I won't. The plans for Christmas will continue as usual. The people I want to honor end of the year, I honor them as usual. The messages I plan to preach between now and then, I preach them as usual. Life continues. If I'm supposed to collect salary end of November, end of December, you must still pay it. I don't care that Jesus is coming on the 16th. What about the plans you had for tomorrow? That's why you don't know me. That's why you're asking. I am more like that. I have learned to serve God daily. I don't have any money. I'm saving somewhere for tomorrow. That suddenly I'm not saying God is coming. Jesus is coming on the 16th. So let us not start eating it. So as to grow fat before the 16th or what? Let us start giving it. It won't get any reward in heaven. Because the motive is very, very wrong. You are getting what I'm not explaining. This is why I say it. Anything that I would change, if Jesus were to give me an authentic information that is coming back shortly, then I might as well change it now. Do you get my point? We say, I'll go quickly go and confess all my sins and do nothing wrong. Better confess the sins now and do nothing wrong. Because the coming of the Lord is not general for everybody. There are different types of coming of the Lord. There's a coming of the Lord in which you are the one that comes to meet the Lord. Do you know my point? Yes. You just die one day, yes. And there's no warning. You are getting what I'm not explaining. I'm emphasizing the fact that Christians must cultivate that everything as a habit. A good culture. A good monetary policy. Yeah, that's a good one. How you handle money. And it must be based, like I said before, on faith. Don't forget, it must be based on what? On faith. You must build it according to the authenticity of God's word. That what God says will come to pass, will come to pass. If he says that your bread will never fail, believe it. Believe it. Believe it. I believe it totally. I understand that the path of the just is like the light of dawn. I say it all the time. I'm only getting better. I'm only getting richer. The days of earning 6,000 naira a month. Somebody said, come and start giving us 500 naira a month so that in 15 years time, we'll give you 200,000. I say, you didn't say I decrease. It is not as if the insurance policy he had was bad. It's just that I couldn't imagine that in 15 years time, 200,000 naira would be big money that I would be impressed by. And I thank God, it is not yet 15 years. In fact, how can you impress me with 200,000 naira now? Cosmo chops that from us every 2 months. You see, it's not... Do you follow what I'm going to say? Like I told you from the beginning of next year, all right, that will be our monthly broadcast bill. It can't shake my head anymore. You are getting the point I'm trying to explain. That's what I mean by faith. I understood then that he said Isaiah chapter 66 to me, verse 12. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I believe it. So when I make my projections, like people say that, look, land in this place. When I first came to Enugu, this land was going for 17,000 naira. I didn't buy. Now it's 6.5 million. You know what I always tell such people? Relax. There's another land that's currently going for 17,000 naira, which in 15 years' time, it will also be 6.5 million. So they say, it is good to buy. I say, listen, when the land was 17,000 naira, maybe I didn't have money. I didn't have 17,000. But when it will become 15 million, whatever it will be, then I will have 100 million to pay for it. That's what I mean by not worrying about tomorrow. I believe it totally. I believe it totally. Based on faith. It must be based on faith. So bear that one in mind. So now let me just now go into that in details. Talking about this, how to sow spiritual seeds, which is actually what we refer to when we are saying, how do we give to God? So having explained the fact that we are trying to cultivate a habit, all right? It's a habit we are trying to cultivate. So that's what I want to say. Now, how do I give to God? I'll run through about 6 methods. As I go on, if any other new one comes up, we'll add to it. So let me just run through it and give you the different methods so that I'll be forced to go through, explain all of them one by one. Number one, you will give to the work of the ministry. Number two, giving to ministers of the work. Number three, every other person you are supposed to honor. There's a reason, because two and three are very similar. I said one, the work of the ministry. Number two, ministers of the gospel. Number three, people that you are supposed to honor. Number one amongst them, your parents. Then number four, the needy. You give to the needy. Then number five, again, four and five are similar to each other. But I will separate it because of discussion I want to have. Widows of your household. Now, put that widows in quotes. I started explaining it last time. That is, quote it, widows of your household. All right? Then number six, that's the last I have for now. This will surprise you. Number six, yourself. You say, what are you saying? Just bear that one in mind. I've given you six different ways, all right? Work of the ministries, ministry, that's the expansion of the gospel of God. The ministers of the work, that's what we've already discussed a bit about that when we're talking about the prophet's reward. Is that okay? Then number three, I said there are people that God commands you must honor. And when you obey that commandment, it's a spiritual seed you are giving to God, like we say. Then number four, the needy. When I say needy now, people are just in need, that's all. You know what I mean? Somebody just needs something, you know? And later on, I'll talk about that. There's even a way you give to beggars. There are principles behind giving. You don't just give. Yes, if God allows us time today, I'll discuss what to give to who. Because of all these things I've listed, there are different things you give to different people. Is that okay? All right. Now, so the needy, including giving to beggars. Beggars, you give crumbs to beggars. You don't give substance to beggars. You give what? Crumbs. Crumbs. All right? I will explain the principle, what I mean by crumbs. Simply, crumbs just means that pocket change. Because you have not been ordained to change a beggar's life. Listen to me. Nobody has been ordained financially to change a beggar's life. What God does to a beggar first is to change his mindset. When his mind has been changed away from that of being a beggar, then you can work with God to change his life financially. Because no matter how much you give to a beggar, he's not leaving the road. Write him a check for 1 million naira. Next day, he will disappointingly show up there. That is, you'll be so disappointed. Thinking, but I gave this man money yesterday. That's a mistake you made. He's not planning to leave the place. Why? Because it's a profession. Give me 1 million naira, I won't stop being a preacher. In the same manner, that's his job. He won't stop the job just because you gave him money. His job is begging. Therefore, you don't give him the same substance you give to a man who labors. You don't. Do you get my point? I have a rule. It's my personal rule. As of Nigeria of today, the maximum a beggar can get out of my pocket is 20 bucks. Listen, that's the maximum. As a rule, you know, there are exceptions. As a rule, you will not draw more than 20 bucks out of my pocket. In fact, currently I have a practice of keeping plenty of it in the car. Tens and twenties. He doesn't expect more than that from you. How do I know? Read the story of Lazarus, who laid at the rich man's gate, waiting for crumbs that will fall from the master. Yeah, you get what I'm saying? You don't want something to fall from that rich man's table, and he will be content. Why? Because he's a beggar. What is crumbs? In Nigeria of today, 10 naira is crumbs, 5 bucks is crumbs, depending on how rich you are. There are people that maybe 1,000 bucks is crumbs for them. For me, man, 1,000 bucks is not crumbs yet. One day it will be crumbs. I mean, if it's your crumb level, the Lord bless you. You are going to have some rich beggars around you. But for me, that ain't my crumb level yet. But you understand the principle. Because you are not going to change the man's life. You are not going to change the woman's life. No matter how much you give. And this is my practice. You know, in the society, people walk up to you. Good morning, sir. You see, as I was leaving my house this morning, I had my bag in my hand. As I was just coming out, some boys just slapped me for face, slapping my bag, and then they just snatched the bag. So I'm standing here now. I don't know where to go. You know the way I like to do this these days? I don't like wasting time. I say, summarize. How much? That's how I do my summarize. I just need money to go from here. When I say, excuse me, please, what's the summary? 200 naira, sir. Good. So I dip my hand in my pocket and give you 200 bucks. What if he's lying? That, you can only catch me once. This has happened to me before. A woman showed up. Me and my daughter, we came to hospital. That was in UNTH, in the hospital. My friend and I were standing there. We came from UNTH, Abakaliki. The medicine they said was not so much. We have finished spending all the money. We want to go back home now. How much is from here to Abakaliki? Then I think it was 300 naira for two people. This was a few years ago. So my friend and I contributed 300 naira and gave to them and said bye-bye to Abakaliki. Except that a few weeks later, I went to the post office. And there she was, with the same daughter, with the same story, with the same destination. Abakaliki. I said, madam, this Abakaliki that you seem to come from every day. Do I stop giving to her? Before, yes, I would. I used to be quite wicked, you know what I mean? I didn't have enough understanding. So this is, no, I don't stop. I just downgrade you, that's all. 300 bucks you won't get from me again. Next time you finish telling the story, 20 bucks for you, 20 bucks for your daughter. Bye-bye. No, that's the rule. That's how I do it. Somebody walks up to me, tell a long story. What if the guy is telling the truth? It has happened to me before as an adult that I was stranded somewhere. I didn't have it. I mean, let me tell you a very dignified one, all right? I went to my mechanic. I didn't know that. My wife dropped me off there. My car has been with the guy for a few days. So I said, today I must retrieve this car. So my wife drove there, dropped me. I carried my bag. Bye-bye. I waved to her. And she left. And the guy didn't finish my car. 1 hour, 2 hours. After a while, I said, oh boy, better come off for here. This guy is not planning to finish the car. Except that to leave the place, there was not a dime to transport myself. Okay, let me call my wife. There was not a dime on my phone. No credit. Let me use the phone, phone call center there. Not even the $20 to pay for a minute of call. I asked the mechanic, can I just call with? I'll just call my wife. Please call me back. Even he did not have a dime on his phone. Man, I stood. Man, here I was getting thirsty. I was getting tired. I couldn't leave. I didn't know how to walk up to the mechanic, this issue, and start telling stories. Say, please, lend me money. But finally, I got a dignified one to do. I mean, God supplies the need all the time. God supplies your need. I just walk up to him and say, Chibike, I beg, give me your car keys that they come. No problem, sir. He respectfully gave me the car keys. And I said, Jesus, this car mustn't stop anywhere. I just took his car and drove straight to work. I said, boys, I beg. Any money for there? Quickly borrow some money. Now, so it can happen. A young man stopped one day on the road. My friend and I were taking a stroll. It was one cool evening in Lagos. So he said, let us stroll from church home. One guy just said, hey, one long story. One young guy, that somebody just picked his pocket and took his money. If you've ever lived in Lagos, you know that story is every 5 minutes you hear a different one. And with different quality of clothes, though, there are guys who tell the story with torn clothes. There are some who have correct suit on, tie well knotted. They tell the same story. You've gotten used to it. So by the time the young man finished telling the story, my friend who I was working with, he said, it has happened to me before. That was all he had to say. That literally in Lagos, he had been stranded once because somebody picked his pocket. So you see, because of that, you have to be careful before you just forget you are telling lies. If I'm meeting you for the first time, tell the story, I will respond. I will respond. Depending on the degree of what you're asking for. Sister, one guy came, met me, Olainka, was you and me. Me and you went somewhere together. So, the guy finished telling the whole story of how he came to town and now he doesn't have a dime to get back. I said, oh boy, the money that will take you back to Lagos, let me be honest with you, I'm not going to give it to you. But at least, I can go a long way. By the time you have meet three people like me, you will be in Lagos. Now, you are getting what I'm not explaining. So, such people, I won't give them crumbs. But then, after that, if I see you again, I instantly downgrade you to where you belong, habitual beggar. And what such people get out of me is $20. So when you finish telling the whole story, look, before you finish, there was one woman like that showed up in my gate, my house. What did they find? Said they look for the madam who they stay for here. Madam who they stay for here. By that time, my wife was not in town. I said, if I was just me and one young man that was staying with me then, everybody else I travel, my wife and the kids. She not there. He said, in Peking, they sick. That she had come here before. That my wife took very good care of her. So that's why you have come back again. No trouble. When she finished, said, in Peking, they sick. And if you really want to catch some people like me, just bring his Peking with the sick. Now, he said, Peking, they sick. And because... sometimes you just are afraid. What I mean by it, if something serious happens to this child, and God says, where did you go when the child was sick? I went to see Pastor Mark. When the child dies and go to heaven, he said, hello, boy, you don't die. He said, yes, sir. What happened, Pastor Mark? You didn't give us money. Listen, it's a risky thing. I'm serious. It's a way you deliver yourself on certain kinds of problems. Let me just summarize the story anyway. So that day, the woman showed up. Okay, how much is the money to buy the medicine? She told me. I gave her the money. No trouble. My first time of meeting her. A few days afterwards, I was in church. Then she showed up again. As I was about to drive her, excuse me, sir. She didn't know me. Okay, this was night. The other time was night. This one was night. And if you meet a black man like me at night, you can never know him. It's not possible. So she didn't know she had met me before. But before she started telling the story, I just took some money and handed it through the window. For one reason, she had a little child following her and she was carrying one. I didn't even hear the story. I didn't want to hear, please, I'm looking, I just wound up, take, please, don't tell any further story, just take. And I wound up and left. That's because if I saw her a third time, she's instantly downgraded to the full level. That second one was still big money. I'm quickly dispensing of this, our time is going. That's how I handle beggars. And look, beggars, they get crumbs. I told that story to let that it's not everybody as a beggar. Some people are really in need. All right? There's one young man, I told this story in my book, and I've met a young man a long time. He's finished from university now. First time I met him, I'm talking about giving to the needy people. All right? You must give, if you can. First time he met me, he came to ask for a job. Maybe that's one of the reasons why I respect him quite a bit. Because he didn't come asking me that I don't have money, please. He said he's a student. He worked in, he was schooling in Airsuth. He came from the village, he road jammed everything, now managed to get himself admission into the university, and nobody's giving him a dime. Nobody. So he just came that day and said, please, sir, do you work here? This is in the hotel there, that where my church meets, all right? So I was waiting for my wife that day. They had a meeting. He just said, please, do you work in this place? I said, no, I'm just a church member. I'm just waiting for somebody. Meanwhile, you want direction? He said, no, he wants a job. What kind of job? This is interesting, but I said, anything. That irritated me a bit. Like, my friend talk, what can you do? I mean, are you a carpenter or a sweeper, a painter, or you know that? He said anything. How can you come looking for a job that is called anything? No, he said, let me explain. He said, okay, before I came from the village, I used to serve mason. I said, what did you say? He said, I serve mason. Didn't that English was my first time hearing it. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, when they are doing construction work, those that carry sand and cement. You serve masons. He said, yes. So I understood why the guy was ready to take anything. He told me at that time he was working somewhere, and that, what do you do there? He said, he cuts grass there. And that why he wants to stop is that the transportation cost to the place, it's more than half of the money he gets paid. So he just wants anything that's closer to where he's living. Do you understand the point? For that reason, till he left his school, occasionally when he'll have needs, he will call me. Each time he'll come to me, as God will give me the ability, I will meet his needs. As much, in fact, there was a day he said that they were about to throw him out of the house, and it happened one of those days. You know, just have money on you. So how much are you owing? He told me, I did my hand in my pocket and I gave it to him. He was so shocked, he thought I would give him a small bit. Do you understand? That he knelt down. No, there were people there publicly. He just knelt down in the center of the place to say thank you. But why did I treat him like that? The young man was not a beggar, really. He wasn't. Because he didn't used to go from one person to the other. He only used to call me occasionally when he's in distress. Otherwise, he would walk. If I gave every money I gave him, if I demanded he worked for that money, he would do it. That guy is not a beggar. He just was somebody that, well, God gave me the opportunity to do good. Are you getting my point? And listen, in life, God, that's what he does. He gives you the opportunity every day. So I've already dispensed, good enough, God is just giving me God's good time. So I've already dispensed of the needy, you know, and stuff like that. I'm talking about how, at least, from my own experience, this is how I handle it. It's not everything I give to everybody, because it's not everything that God demands. Even the people who are needy, it's not everybody that I meet. I mean, if you come and say you need 25,000 naira, like one of my guys will say, no problem. I'll give you a portion of the 25,000 naira and hope that you know enough people to give you a portion like that and we'll fill it up the 25,000. But there are those that they need 25,000, I have to give them 25,000 naira. Do you follow my point? Because I don't expect that there's a way it goes. For example, if you're a cousin of mine and I know the whole story, you can become my responsibility. But under such circumstances, you become a person I can call, demand I want to know how you spend your money. Yes, I saw you wearing a new shirt. Where did you get it? No, there's a different thing there. Do you follow what I'm going to say? I mean, you suddenly are accountable to me. I'm meeting all your needs for goodness sake. You have to be accountable. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So these are little things that help you tell the differences. Do you follow the point? Otherwise, I cannot meet everybody's need. As much as you can, you meet each person. You know, there's a portion. Now, listen to my point. Each person has a responsibility. You know, a lot of people don't understand spiritual things. They want to carry responsibilities that are more than theirs, thinking that by doing that, they will be pleasing to God. Listen, really, if God gives you to understand your own responsibility, don't just go beyond it. Do you follow? No, really. No, I said something earlier that God will deal with each person. That you have an anointing inside you. Do you understand my point? You do have it. The Lord has written His law upon your heart. As long as you're exposed to the Word of God, you will know what is your portion in this life, what to handle and what not to handle. Sometimes my wife will look at me and say, "This guy, you are hard." I say, "Sit down there." This, maybe everybody shouting, "Oh, this thing is just a worldly cause. This is the work of God. Everybody is killing themselves to give money." I said, five cup around there. No, I'm not going to answer. Why would you look like? Why are you like this? I said, listen. At least you're a witness. It's not as if I'm laying up treasure on earth because I want to buy a car, I want to build a house. I just look at this thing and say, I know they do. One day, a student walked up to me, and with students, I can be hard. "Good afternoon, sir. Your message has been a blessing." Very nice. "Please, there's a money we are trying to raise. Please, let me just tell you now, tell your friend. Anybody that wants to raise money from me must never tell me my message has been blessing him." It turns me off. When my message has been blessing you, I expect an offering from you. Not demand to give some more. When we're talking spiritual things, the exchange is I give you spiritual, you give me physical. You can't collect my spiritual. I'm collecting my physical. What did they worry you? If you want to come and ask me for money, just come, honestly. "Good morning, sir. We know you're a man that God has blessed and you should have something to give us." Come from that level. But if you come and say, "Good morning, sir. I don't miss your programs on Mondays and on Thursdays. In fact, God has sent you to change our lives." Oh boy. Better dash me a recharge card. Buy me a drink. Buy me orange. Do something. If you now end it with, "There's this program we are trying to do. We are trying to contribute money. We will wonder whether you'll be able to contribute." Oh, party. That's the end of it. In fact, the blessing I give you by the radio, I want it back. I want it back. Sharp, sharp. Oh, your man walked up in one day and said they are trying to raise money for something. I said, I told the students, very funny. You raise 2.5 million and it's not your fault. You don't work. You don't know the meaning of 2.5 million. Go and meet real people that work. They know they caught 2.5 million with mouth. That's not, they didn't sanctify. They will first anoint their hand. They'll call 2.5. Like, you just see small boys and girls. Carry paper. "Good morning, sir. We have in our budget is 3.5 million. 3.5 million. I will look the person, look the shoe, look the shirt. Obviously, you have never seen 3.5 million. Like I said, to them, 3.5 million is not 3.5 million. It's how many people can we go and harass? So the young man came and said, "Have you, message has been a blessing." I was looking at him. And now brought letter. Waiting there inside. Is it a letter of appreciation for blessing you on radio? Or a check addressed to Kingdom World Ministries? Or what? They have a program. It's going to cost them 1.something million. And they want me to give towards it. I said, "Why do you people need money?" He said, "They are hosting other students from other places." I said, "Why should you be hosting people when you don't have money to host them?" He said, "They are small. The people coming are plenty." I said, "You don't take a responsibility you don't carry. You can't carry." I said, "Listen, my friend, I was a fellowship president of my fellowship on campus for 3 semesters. I cannot remember one day I told my brethren to go around collecting money." I said, "Not one day." And we did things. He was looking at me. I said, "Oh boy, you guys decide to bite more than you can chew. I won't chew it for you. Next time, when 1,000 people want to gather, and you are only 15, tell them we don't have accommodation for 1,000 people." No, listen. He said, "But Jesus multiplied bread for 5,000. How many people did he go discussing with? The Bible says he himself knew what he would do. You obviously don't know what you are going to do. That's why you are going from one person to the other." No, I can be very mean sometimes. You know what I mean? Mean in quote. I just refuse. Sorry, forget. You can't go and carry responsibility that's bigger than you and they want to throw it onto my head. That one I did dodge. Thank you. You're on your own, sir. You're on your own. You begged for the hassle. Look, one of the things God has taught me in this life, listen, learn it too. It will help you. If the crop does not permit, don't put in the sickle. What did I say? If the crop does not permit, don't put in the sickle. The Bible says that the farmer puts in the sickle because the harvest has come after the crop was mature. You start harvesting things that you are not ready for. I've told you, house, build out. I want to own a house. Currently, I don't have one. I can call my own. I've weighed it. I found that the easiest thing that God has done for me is giving me money to pay landlord. So I will rent a big house and pay the landlord the big money. I have all kinds of opportunities. If you buy this one, you pay this amount, the bank will be paying, they'll be taking. I say, distress. At the end of every month, everything the university gives, they will gazole it. Then you have flat tire on the road. People don't know why. Pastor, let's help you change it. They say, God bless you. God bless you. The following day, Pastor, let's help you change it. The third day, come, let's help you push it. You know, the battery don't die now. You are wondering, Pastor. He said, this pastor, God, I love him. He's a humble man. You don't know. See, he's a very humble man. Look at him. He's a man of God, but he's pushing his car. He's not complaining. What you don't know is that God did not design that I should push that car. It is me that took all the money that God gave me to buy a new battery. Because, there are things. I didn't drive a car early in life. I mean, as a personal person, you know what I mean? As an individual. I drove my father's car when I was young, but after I started working, I graduated in 1991. I didn't have my own car until the year 2000. So, because of that, there are things that are inside my brain. All right? I know the push car. No, I'm serious. I don't buy cars that are not in very good condition. No, forget, I don't. I don't buy Tokumbo tires. That's my own. Once, boom, the battery doesn't start one day. They say, go and change the acid and put it on fire. It's against Pastor Banky's religion. I drop the battery there. I put another one. That's why all the cars I drive are automatic. You can't even, you can't risk it. Why did I become like that? Part of the reason was that when I couldn't afford the car, I trekked. If the bus stops, I come down, enter the next bus. If police arrest your car, which has happened in my presence before, I jump down, take the next car, pay him for the journey and take the next one. No, you understand? So when God called me into my own rest, do you follow my point? I don't lose it for just lose it anyhow. No, the rest that God has given me, I treasure it. What am I trying to explain? When you go and start taking things upon yourself that you're not ready for, it's one of the reasons why you're going to extreme distress. Listen to me. Young man. You're going to be buying shirt, you're paying three times. Three times, four times. Buy a cheap one. That one is obviously bigger than your size. That is, I don't care whether you're size 52 and the shirt is size 52. That's not what I mean. The money is heavier than you. It is. Look, let me leave that one. I don't want to go into things. Let me sit on my main course. Do you understand? I'm just telling the reason why sometimes when I see people put themselves into distress, I don't. What do I do? Deliver yourself. What am I? Deliver yourself. If you have gone to buy a house and all the money that you're supposed to be using to enjoy life for now, you're going to pay the bank, go and sell the house and go continue paying rent. A lot of people can't do that. You know why? Because they don't have the kind of faith that God expects us to have. Because for you to walk like that, you must have an absolute assurance that tomorrow is secure. And brethren, that one I have. Do you get my point? Now, I digress there. I hope somebody was blessed. I hope you learned a thing or two from that. All right, so let's go on. So talking about, I've clearly talked about giving to the needy. You should make it a habit. Part of the money that God gave you, that's the kind of place you give it to. Now, I talked about work of the ministry. That's the first thing I mentioned. Let's quickly just talk about that briefly. If you go and read it through the scriptures, you will find out that when it comes to building the temple of God on the earth, God always required free will donations, not levies, free will donations. Because of time, we won't read everything, okay? But if you go and see when they built the one inside the in the wilderness, it was the same principle that was used, all right? And then if you go down the book of Ezra, chapter 2, from verse 68 to 69, you will see that the Bible says that the heads of the father's households, all right, offered willingly for the house of God to restore its foundation according to their ability they gave to the treasury for the work. Then it'll give you an outline of how much the people give. That's the book of Ezra, chapter 2. I just read portions of verses 68 and 69. And where I quoted, where I referred to without quoting it, was Exodus 35. God commanded Moses, take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as the Lord's contribution. Gold, silver, and bronze. That's verse 5 of Exodus 35. And those are the things that Moses now used to build the temple. And you will see again, he talked about that First Chronicles chapter 29. You can write that one down if you are taking notes. How David prepared for the building of the temple. You see how he gathered a lot of things, 3,000 talents of gold, precious gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver, and all of that. But what I want to emphasize is this. Listen, God doesn't have a physical temple on the earth. I hope you know that. Right now, he doesn't have a physical temple on the earth. Neither does he desire one. Some people say church. I always tell people that no. What churches are, church buildings, you know what they are? They are convenient meeting places. What makes a church is what? The gathering of believers. If we desire to gather under a tree, that tree is a church. If it's your car garage, that has just become a church. Do you follow my point? It's just a convenient meeting place. The real temple of God. Paul said that, don't you understand that your body, I like the way Amplified said, he said individually and collectively, the church of God on the earth is the temple of God. So when I'm talking about building the temple of God, the work of building the house of God, therefore, the primary thing, I'm talking about work of ministry, it has to do with preaching of the gospel so as to convert the unbelieving. And then the teaching of the word of God, instructing in righteousness so as to establish those who have already believed. Are you getting my point? Let me just say something here briefly. I'm sure there's nothing I'm saying that's strange. But let me just emphasize something. Because of the missionary project that Africa was for a long time, a lot of people still have the mission project mentality. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? Let me explain it further. What I mean by mission project mentality? Those days, missionaries will come, they spend their money, spend everything to give us the gospel. And because of that, unconsciously, people still think that gospel is just done, you know, for no cost. They don't understand how it's financed. I remember then when we started printing tracts, people read it, my tracts, wrote us letters, and asked for more tracts, no problem. Wrote letters and asked for Bible. Wrote letters and asked for financial assistance. The first time we went on air, hi, what letter didn't I get? I'm a widow. I have two sons. Not the Bible widow, I mean physical widow. I mean, in Enugu of today. What did I not get? A young one came one day, early one Sunday morning to come and look for me. What is the problem? He said, I want to talk about myself. I said, is that so? Go ahead. And then I finished telling the story. I said, wait, summarize. You know, I like summaries. Summarize. What do you mean? He said, right now, he needs accommodation. Mm-hmm. He needs a link for his business. Mm-hmm. And he needs another thing. So when he finished, I said, of all these things that you have said now, let me hear you something clear. You said you heard me on radio. He said, yes. I said, what did I ever see on radio that brought you to Enugu this morning to come and ask me for these things? You were looking at me. No, I said, I want to know. Did I announce on radio that those in need of accommodation should come to Kingdom World Ministries? Oh, this is America. Remember the guys who came from Musuka that they heard that Pastor Banky helps people go to America? No, I'm serious. So God, Olizemeka, ask him. He was the one that was handling them. We were doing seminar here. They showed up from Nsuka that they heard that Pastor Banky helps people go to America. So they came to meet me to arrange an America trip for them. Please, don't preach on radio unless God sends you. How did you tell the young man came and said, I said, wait, what have I said? In all the messages I have preached, I need to get it clear. You said you came from Abakaliki this morning. He said, yes, on a Sunday morning. To come and tell me that you need business opportunity and you need accommodation. I said, listen, let me tell you something. Did you go to secondary school? He said, yes. Have you ever heard of division of labor? He said, yes. I said, labor is divided. I preach to you. I don't give accommodation. He's preaching, I preach. I said, hear it clearly. I have a house. But that's where my wife and my children live, and I can't take strangers into the place. I said, please, excuse me. I took my Bible. God bless you. May you have a safe trip back. I went back into church from where they called me to come and talk to the man. I said, which kind of issue is this one early this morning?
I told him the division of labor. The division of labor. Then we have the impression that it's because you have too much money. That's why you are preaching on Cosmo FM. No, no, that's the impression they have. What I'm trying to say is that it's not people's fault. We need to teach the correct thing. Is this mission project mentality? The gospel was poor. No, that's why. Ask Olisemeka, ask Chukwubike, ask Israel. One thing I know they dash people. Eh? Now books and tapes. I know they dash you. Like, yeah. I know I'll give you that one. In fact, it appears that the people I give books are those who don't even, they can afford it 50,000 times. Maybe a man of God comes up here and after chatting, I autograph one and give it to him. Or some of the people that have supported us very much in ministry. I mean, a man who gives you 200,000 naira can buy a 200 naira book, don't you think so? But sometimes I autograph a book just to thank him for being with us, you know, just acknowledge his support, all right? Give him a book. But he said, I should dash your book. I said, you're a wicked soul. I preach to you free of charge. You still want to collect the book free of charge? I'm trying to explain something. The gospel is paid for. Jesus did not, you think Jesus multiplied bread for the multitude, but to eat, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus had to walk. Multitude can multiply bread, though. His own bread, multiplication, he doesn't eat, multiply bread. Mission projects. The mission project mentality is what people still have. I tell you that don't send Nigerians free Bibles. It is a sin. What is Nigeria doing with free Bible? We can afford it. We all carry mobile phones. A good Bible is 250 naira. Don't send it free to a Nigerian. We have passed that stage. Let's send it to Bangladesh, Rwanda, Burundi. Please, not Nigeria. Free tracts. Why should you send Nigeria free tracts? This, I wish somebody would tell to these Americans. You know, they think that we are still in the bush. We don't know. They don't know we can. Look, if I want 100,000 tracts tomorrow, I will just clock the door. By the time I collect 1,000 naira from all of you that are here, we have the tracts are not expensive. 60 gram paper. Small pieces like this. Print it single color. He says the same tracts from America. In fact, if you bring it, I know go read. I'm bringing an issue. We have passed the stage of being what? Mission projects. We should not be what? Missionaries. And actually, we are already. We just don't realize it, a lot of us. You don't have to be a preaching missionary. You can be a paying missionary. I'm trying to bring an issue. To regularly contribute to the work of the ministry. Listen, my friends. Is what? The work of God. It is spiritual seed. I don't think I need to develop it further. I was going to read the scripture for us, but let's just leave it. In the book of Luke, where he explained how Jesus got his sustenance from. And then let's just leave that. But the point I just wanted to make is that, look, people were given to Jesus Christ. That's how the ministry was sustained. Do you understand my point? It was not out of, it wasn't multiplying bread. People contributed money for the support of the work of the ministry of Jesus. Is that okay? Because of time, please, let's keep going. I told you there are these two are added together, given to ministers of God and then people you are supposed to honor. Because of time, let me rush through that. Now, listen to this. I think we already discussed this, so don't let me go by it in details. There are two reasons you give to a man of God. Number one, I've already explained it, is what? Because he's a man of God. So let me refer to what we discussed about prophet's reward. And then number two is because he has been a blessing to you personally. Because of time, I don't have time to read through the scriptures. Paul said that having ministered spiritual things to you, do you understand? He said we are supposed to partake, he said, in your material things also. Are you getting my point? Go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul was angry and he explained to the people. He said, listen, you don't muzzle the ox that is threshing out the wheat. The ministers that minister at the altar, the Bible said they are supposed to do what? Feed from the altar. And what Paul was explaining is that what ministers do, all right, is they preach the word of God and the people that they preach to sustain the people. Let me explain something to you to explain a particular principle. John Gillick went to South Africa. He preached for years, and they were being sponsored from where? From America. And after a while, support dried up for certain reasons. Let me not go into the reason why the support dried up. Then, the people now... John Gillick suffered so much for the gospel that his wife died, and people said that she died of malnutrition. Why? Let me tell you, people like me, this is a part of the gospel we actually don't like preaching, because it appears as if you are begging for money. Are you getting my point? Why? Because John G. Lake thought it was only mission projects that the people were. But listen to me, what God expected is that after he had ministered for a while, God deliberately shut the flow of resources coming from America and said, this is where you have been ministering. You have to feed from here. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Listen, as a matter, you know, I told you that people make me laugh sometimes. They come up to me and say, sir, those your messages have been a blessing. Let me tell you the truth. Divine order, until the message produces physical results in your life, you are pardoned. But if it produces physical results, let me tell you the truth. It is ungodly for you to use mouth to tell me those messages were powerful. Do you get my point? Listen, don't use me as an example for anybody. That man is a disciplined man. He works at his doctor. He preaches for free. It's not a normal thing. It's an abnormal thing. You know, people go and be quoting you. They don't know what you are doing is bad. Let me tell you the truth. The ideal thing is that if you labor hard in the gospel, the people that you labor hard for. If the Bible said that the man that labors in word and in doctrine is worthy of what? Double honor. And it was talking about resources. Do you follow my point? But then let me just put this, add this clause to it. You don't put pressure on anybody. It's acceptable according to what a man has. I said something about people you want to honor. A lot of people, they want preachers to beg. They want it to be poor. I saw pastor yesterday. I didn't like his shoes. They were old. Let's contribute money and buy him new shoes. I will never give you that privilege in Jesus' name. In fact, this shoe I'm wearing today, thank God, is new. It's a good time to talk about it. My shoe is new. Amen. I got wearing it this week. My wife bought it for me recently. What I'm trying to explain, there's a difference between the poor and people you are supposed to honor. You honor a man of God, you don't give to him because he's poor. Do you get what I am explaining? In the same manner, you give to your parents not because they are poor, because they are worthy of what? Honor. You give to a king not because he's poor, but because he's worthy of what? Honor. If you are going to a man's house, maybe you're going to your boss's house. He has created a company, he has blessed you. All right, material resources are flowing through the company into your house. Give the opportunity to eat. You don't just show up at the door and say, oh, God, get money now. What is wrong? It's a poverty mentality. I'm not saying you go and spend all your money buying gifts for him, but when you are going, it's Christmas, buy him a perfume. Listen, I'm trying to explain something. That's part of giving to God. Because of my time, let me close. Next time, I will finish the issue about widows of your household. All right? But please don't forget this. Let me just say this to you. I need to introduce this. All right? And then we'll close. I will introduce this. I will now finish it next time. All right? And then we'll close. There's an important thing about this honor thing that I must explain. Please quickly open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, verse 17. I want to just introduce this and then I'll close. The next time I will finish what I began today. Please, this is what we're talking about, also spiritual seed. That's what I'm talking about. And don't forget, my emphasis is on cultivating what? A lifestyle, a habit. A habit. Cultivating a habit. Luke chapter 17, verse 17. Now, you know the story around it. 10 lepers met Jesus Christ and they wanted to be cleansed, right? And he cleansed them. And then in verse 15, he said, now one of them, how many of them? One. All right? When he saw he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And they came to Jesus, giving thanks to him. And the Bible said, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was there no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner? Now listen to me. Let me ask you a question. How did he know the other people were not somewhere giving God glory? I will answer it for you because our time is gone. I'll pick up from there next time. The fact is that to give God glory when somebody directly blesses you is not accepted anywhere else except in the person's presence, unless it is not possible. We have a culture in Africa. Stick by it. Don't ever reject it. When Pentecostals started learning half-truth, they will say, your first salary should be given to your church that you have to give first fruits to God, as if God exists only in church. Let me tell you something. God doesn't exist only in church. There's something I'm trying to explain. We have a culture, it's been a good culture in Africa. Your first salary you give to who? Your parents. Or, if it's not, maybe some people, maybe their father is dead or something like that. They are raised by an uncle. The first salary goes to an uncle. Let me tell you something. It's a culture that is based on spiritual principles. I'll develop it further next time. What is that spiritual principle? That when you are blessed directly from a place, you return to that spot to tell God, thank you. The other nine could be somewhere dancing palongo and shouting praise God and dancing. It was not acceptable. They knew where Jesus was. They were supposed to turn around, go back to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and say the thank you there. That is why, listen, no, that is why. I'll tell you this, I don't like to pretend as you are begging people. The fact is that if I met a man in poverty and he listened, no matter where he's from, listening to the gospel, if God breaks through upon him one day because of the word that I preached, he will be a crazy man, all right? Not to trace a no good or make a phone call and say, even if you don't want to give to Pastor Banky personally, say, where's Kingdom World Ministries account? We'll never ask for it, of course. But I tell you that these are the proper things to do. You finish school, your father sweated, your mother helped you over the years. The first salary you paid, please don't take it to any church. It is not acceptable by God. God will not accept it as an offering from your hand. Where do you take it to? The presence of your father and your mother. The people who paid. Listen, if you were in distress, you were in university, your fellowship helped you, your friends helped you. That's where you go. You share the money amongst all of them. Sometimes a first month salary is too small. Make it the first 6 months project. I have told you, when you start earning money, one thing you don't do is start buying car. Start buying expensive clothes. You don't need it yet. For the first few months, 1 year, you go back to be saying thank you to God. They were friends on campus. They will share their own allowance with you. You start earning salary, come on, scratch all of them, one recharge card each. The first 1 year, you are saying thank you to God. Listen, you can't pay the people enough. Your father may be a billionaire. Your uncle that helped you may be a multi-millionaire. With your $5,000 salary, can't help him. But it's an offering. Do you get my point? All this I'm discussing is how to give to God. God. That money don't give to the motherless baby. Are you hearing me? There is a portion for the needy. Ask my wife, it's Christmas time. There are charity homes we're already packaging gifts that we'll carry to Christmas. And I mean, when I say gifts, I write fat checks. My wife will do a full day's shopping. That is, it's a full car load when she's going to deliver it. And you see, don't give people leftover, people like that. No, that's for me, it's not like that. One day, I've told my wife before, one day it will be my son's birthday. We'll go to a motherless baby's home to go and do the birthday. Those children too need party. I will carry on my kids. We'll do it one day. I've been trying to do it for years. I'll just say ahead of time, please, Sunday, we are coming to do birthday parties. My son's birthday. Let them go and intermingle with children that don't have parents. Bring gifts for every one of them. Pentecostals only know how to give in church. I've told you, don't give me your father's money. I don't want it. A portion. Look, you earn. If I've been a blessing to you, Kingdom has been a blessing to you, give us our own portion. But please, don't give me a cost money. I don't want it. A portion each person. Listen, when you want to deny people, deny yourself. Do you get my point? The widow of Zarephath did not give her son's meal. She gave her own. Yes, I know you have money for a car. It's not yet time. Do you get what I'm explaining? You deny yourself. You don't deny your father because you want to honor the man of God. You deny yourself. But like I said, best of all, apportion it. It can be 10,000 naira. Look, say 500 naira is for this, 500 naira is for this. Let everybody get his own portion. What is wrong is selfishness and putting yourself first. J-O-Y, we used to teach in Sunday school. This is what it means. You know the song, J-O-Y, this is what it means. Jesus first, yourself last, others in between. That's the way it goes. Just put yourself last, you will never go wrong. You hear what I said? You will never go wrong. Please, though, like I said, I'll develop this next time. When you honor people, it's not because they are poor. It is because God commanded that you should do it. Please, our time is gone. We have many things to say, but I hope you've learned something today. I hope you have learned something today. Please, do me a favor. Make me feel happy. Live here and cultivate a giving habit. That is why you don't ever hear me say, offering time, if you have been blessed today, dip your hands in your pocket and show God you have been blessed. That's impulsive. Is that offering big enough for your God? Listen, my friend, I don't nonsense. The fact is that if I apportion it well, my whole life is what I'm serving God with, not one single offering. That's why you don't hear me shout, offering time. It's not because we don't get offerings. I told you, this place is run. Every work we do is run by offerings. But then I expect that people do what I teach, which is that when you earn, you apportion each portion to each person. Do you get what I'm explaining? And if God has placed us in your heart, prepare for it. Do you get what I'm saying? You don't come and expect him to be, you know, tickling you one day. And tickle you, you jerk, money go drop. That is why we will be in poverty for a long time. You've heard my prophecy, let me say it again. One day, a person will walk up to me and put a draft on the table and say, Pastor, that's a billion naira. Use it to preach this gospel. A week later, another person, not knowing the first person has done it, will put another billion naira and say, this is for the preaching of this gospel. Then one day, I will share the testimony. Somebody will say, they want to leave me behind. He too will come, 1 billion naira. And I believe God totally, in 24 months, there will be 12 of them. And the people who will do it, as of today, a large number of them, shake them, sell their clothes, sell all their assets. You can't put 100K together. Because it is God that wants to lift people up there that men might fear before him. What does he want to lift you up there? It's faithfulness that he's seen in your heart today. Do you get my point? Cultivate a good habit and God will bless you. We'll finish this message next time. Let us pray.